Welcome in to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. You can catch me on Sundays on Busted Opens, Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7, every Sunday, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 Pacific, on SiriusXM Channel 156 and on the SiriusXM app. It's an extension to what we do right here on Good Karma Wrestling. Don't forget to not only like, but also share, subscribe, and comment to everything we do on YouTube. We are growing because of you. So thank you so much for checking us out, whether it is live every Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 Pacific, right here on YouTube, or whenever you pick up our show. Thank you for helping us grow on YouTube. And of course, we're podcasts as well. We can drive in the car. It could just be me. It could be Brian. It could be Gabe and you. Just loving wrestling all by yourself on podcasts.
I've got plenty to talk about. It's WrestleMania season, Revolution in the book. There's plenty. We always have stuff there. Join us. Plenty of guests also. You never know who's going to pop on the show and give it a listen.
Also, a fun game for you because Gabe's not here. He's trying to find out who the masked man is, even though there's 12 of them. We told him it's Seth Rollins, but he doesn't believe us, so he's going to look for the masked man. Also, a fun game on YouTube. When you go through all of our interviews, and we've talked to so many here on Good Karma Wrestling interviews, a fun game is hit the first 5 seconds of every interview because the first 5 seconds is usually so excited to talk to, and then go to the next one. So excited to talk to, next one. So excited to talk to. So you can get the introduction from Gabe for the last 25 interviews. It always starts with so excited to talk to. It's a fun drinking game. You'll enjoy.
Yeah, we're excited to talk to everyone. That's how it goes.
So as you mentioned, Brian, there's so much to talk about here in the world of professional wrestling, but there's got to be like a main item, something that really stands out amongst the rest. Let's get to that first.
We've talked about the build to the WrestleMania main event. We know it's Orton. We know it's Cody. And as of Friday, it is heel Randy Orton leaving Cody in his own blood. Will heel Randy Orton work?
Yes, it will work because heel Randy Orton is a babyface. How about that? How about that?
All right.
And by the way, it's not how we would see him because we saw what happened there. I mean, Randy Orton is there in the contract signing, and there's Cody Rhodes being condescending and white meat baby face and all that. It's like, no, wait, Randy. I'll make this easy for you. Let me lift this off your shoulders. Oh, really? How about we get this chair around your head? That's exactly what happened to Cody Rhodes. But you notice in that crowd, there were cheers for Randy Orton. And next time we see Randy Orton, we saw him on Monday Night Raw. He appeared on the screen. There was no real interview there. It was taped, obviously. But Randy Orton on the phone with a mystery man got cheers then. He's going to keep getting cheers. So even a heel Randy Orton is still a babyface in the eyes of a lot of fans because they want him to see him win another championship.
Yeah, see, that's why I sort of lean towards it won't work because the core of being a heel is being booed and being hated. And I think more people are shifting towards not being Cody fans. So as Orton gets a little more heelish and, you know, bends the corners and does this and that, I think those cheers are going to be louder. It wasn't too loud on Friday. There were some when he sat down with the belt and everyone's like, all right, let's do this. But him being dirty and then him losing at Mania, I don't know if that's going to get the reaction they're looking for.
Interesting, though. So because how we feel as fans, we respect Randy Orton.
Yep.
As people that are against Cody Rhodes, he still is going to be his heel character. Like, he's still going to move slowly in the ring. He's going to explain why he did that to Cody Rhodes, even though the fans will cheer him, kind of like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Austin sides with Vince McMahon, and the fans were still cheering Austin. They couldn't boo Austin because he was such a babyface. So even though Austin was still doing heelish things, the fans were still on his side. So it'll work in that way, because I twisted the question on you. It will work in that way where the fans will still respect him, but he's not going to get a whole bunch of boos because fans have their own feeling about things now.
But are we still, and I know it's sort of the WWE heel, like, are we still going to get the catchphrases and the, like, oh, three most dangerous letters and everyone sings along and him dancing? Are we still going to get all that?
Well, you know, when you're a heel and you decide that you're going to go against the number one babyface in the company, everything should change.
Yes.
We talked about that with John Cena just about a year ago on this program. We talked about, hey, Cena should change his music and Cena should change his look and Cena shouldn't be talking to the fans. And it was still kind of like Cena in a lot of different ways, right? Still have the same music, He had somewhat of the same demeanor here or there. But you would just think, Brian, that, hey, because you're a heel, you should turn 180 degrees. And today's heel that goes from babyface to heel doesn't do that. Tommaso Ciampa is a perfect example. Hey, yeah. The music's awesome, by the way, from Ciampa. But even though he's unhinged, he was unhinged as a babyface, but also as a heel in some ways, too. So that whole full 180-degree turn, you just don't get that as often as you should, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's the disappointing part, because to me, heel Randy Orton is one of the best heels in the business. And having that edge and punting people and doing this and doing that, like, that is what I want to see. I want to see heel Randy Orton one more time before he hangs up the boots. It doesn't feel like we're going to get that, because a 2026 heel is not what we're used to 20 years ago and, you know, Legend Killer and things like that. The Cody side, I wonder if we get a little bit more edge out of him also. And it feels like in the end, they're both just going to be sort of in the middle tweeners, where Cody is still, hey, let's play the music. What do you want to talk about? But maybe he's a little bit more aggressive. And I'm curious to see what that dynamic's like in Vegas in a few weeks.
So now, Brian, what we look at is Randy Orton being a heel, but yet cheered by adults.
Right.
But there's going to be kids that are really disappointed that Randy attacked Cody.
Sure.
And a lot of kids and young people that really root for Cody Rhodes because he's a superhero. I totally get that.
Yeah.
But I think that with Randy Orton this time around, they understand what's on the line. This guy wants to be able to surpass John Cena for most championships. He's always been respected. For years, he's been eyeing that championship. And we've gotten hints for about a year and a half of him just looking over at the championship. That's anything. Looking over at the championship saying, you know, one day I'm going to win. And so I think it does work to an extent. And I'll tell you this. You talk about the punt kicks, right? When's the last time we saw one of them? It's coming back now. Now it'll be back. It'll be part of the repertoire. Because a babyface punting somebody, that doesn't seem to work. At least it does as far as the personality. But I think that's coming back. Will we get the guy spitting on legends? Because he did that too, as you recall, Randy Orton.
Yeah, and you bring up the punt, like, it being on Cody sort of loses meaning. I feel like it has to be on someone else.
Like?
Brandy? Arn Anderson? Do we bring Arn back? What's Arn doing?
Did you say Brandy?
I'm just throwing out ideas, trying to help out booking.
This is not GCW. What do you think you're doing there?
That'll get Randy booed.
This is not Vince McMahon's WWE, where women get violated like that.
I'm talking Arn? All right. Arn Anderson? What's Arn doing?
Arn's on the other end of the phone talking to Randy.
Oh. I think who else is even connected to Cody? Because it feels like everyone's going against him at this point.
Okay. So let's you and I boil this down. So the first thing, someone asked me on GKW underscore wrestling. That's where you can find us on X, GKW underscore wrestling. Please follow along. Someone asked, like, so who you think is on the other end of the phone? And I said Arn Anderson, or the Arn Show, which is his podcast, right? The reason why I said that is because Randy says that there's more than one royal family in wrestling.
Yeah.
And so I thought maybe he was talking to Arn because Arn had that connection with Cody in AEW. Remember the whole Glock thing?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing with the you know, you would do something that's what a babyface do if it's me. Let's try to break into my car. I pull the Glock out and blast his head.
But does the WWE audience remember that or know that?
No, but I mean, I think here's the other part of it. Is Ric Flair's contract up in AEW?
Who knows? Rick shows up where he wants to.
Well, I mean, that's a big thing because I'm thinking it's the Horsemen. Because of the Dusty Rhodes Horsemen connection, Cody having a hard time with Arn, Tully, maybe not Barry Windham, but maybe Ric Flair. That's just a thought. The other thought I had is, well, what's Shane doing lately?
Oh, I mean, the rumor going out there, the Horseman angle. I mean, we've talked a lot about the age issue. The Horseman does not help with that. The rumor going around is maybe Orton with Ricky Starks and Ethan Page, which, if we're going age as a number, doesn't help there. But at least it's fresh faces, and they have connections to Cody. And then maybe they have Orton's back.
But what royal family are they from? The Nightmare?
The Codyverse.
No. No, and so I'm just going to rule out Cowboy Bob coming back with the cast.
The cat, what's he up to? I feel like he's got time.
No, no, this is not. As much as I love a cowboy Bob Orton, Bob is not coming out there with the cast to try to help Randy win the championship. No, Bob's not coming out.
Yeah, it feels sort of dead end. I know we've only got a few weeks to build to it, and Orton will do his part. And I feel like I'm not even 100% confident that Cody's going to be that next level. We're like, all right, like I want to see this. Like Punk and Roman are doing their jobs right now. Like I am a lot more invested in that match than I was a month ago.
Okay.
Orton and Cody, I'm just not there yet into like caring.
Well, but you know what? It just happened.
Yeah.
Give him some time to tell a couple of stories here. But here's the thing, though. Brian, here's what's crazy about wrestling. You can have – we're going to talk about AEW Revolution still to come here on Good Karma Wrestling. But you can talk about all the great matches and all the great in-ring, five-star match, this, that. But one of the most intriguing things in the business is who's on the other end of the phone.
Sure.
Which is crazy about our business, right? We can talk about the in-ring and talk about, you know, ticket sales and all this other stuff and TV ratings, but people want to know who is on the phone because WWE is a murder mystery. Right. It's a mystery show. Like who's out there, who's in the box and you know, who's behind the mask. And now we want to know who's on the phone with Randy.
But all they do with that is book themselves in the corners. Cause then fans start throwing out ideas and you know, oh, it's going to be this person. It's going to be that person. And then when it eventually is revealed, it's like, that's not what I expected. Like that's a disappointment. Like Danhausen was booed at Survivor Series. Danhausen, you were there. There was no reaction. And now he might be the most over babyface in that company. But because of the reveal and because of the building up to it, you sort of set expectations that you can't meet.
So I say the answer to the question is that it does work. No matter how the fans feel, it works because now we get Randy really getting into his bag. He says he's a killer. You saw that promo. He's like, you know what? I'm a killer. And he is. He's been a babyface so long, and by the way, did not like being a babyface. But Vince made him a babyface because he was a heel so long that now he can start doing things that he used to do. And again, he's a Five Moves of Doom guy too.
Yeah.
People still love him, you know? So I think it works. Do you have any other choices on who's on the phone? I gave you the Horseman. Do you have anyone else?
I think the Ricky and Ethan Page stuff, you call them up. And that's really it. Like nothing else comes to mind. I feel like Jericho's name's thrown out for everything at this point, but like that doesn't work.
But wrestling has more than one royal family.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
Okay, so it's got to be something from a wrestling family. It's not Orton's family. It's not. No, Bob's not coming out. So who? The McMahons, Shane, give you that.
Sure.
Is it Triple H from the back? From production calling in?
Maybe. I mean, KO, but like that doesn't fit the family narrative.
I mean, QT Marshall.
Yes, there you go. Mystery solved.
So, like what royal family? So we're talking about wrestling royalty. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, over the years, the Rhodes have had a problem with the Flairs. Okay. But from there, I can't come up with anything else. Because otherwise, if it's not a wrestling-related family, then this is the shits.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, unless Orton just takes it as like, oh, I'm the one representing the other family, and then he brings in his own quote-unquote family.
Yeah, so you're saying that's not going to be legacy. It's not Ted DiBiase.
Right. So Ted's a little tied up right now, so I don't know if he's available.
That's it.
So, like, maybe that's the way they do it, and we get a new heel faction out of it?
Maybe.
The other thing, in order for this to work, Orton's got to win at Mania.
That's correct. Well, I think that he will.
I'm not confident there.
Oh, well, you got your night one taken care of. It's Orton and Rhodes.
Yes.
I believe Orton will win the championship, but someone's going to screw Cody along the way.
All right. He's got to win. I'm not confident they're going to let night one end with him standing in the ring holding up that title.
He'll get a lot of cheers, though, in Vegas.
Yeah. The other thing, Gabe and I talked about a few weeks ago, I think you were out, the first hour, Saturday and Sunday, being on ESPN television.
Yeah.
You need some marquee moments there to draw some people in to where they're done watching, like, oh, I want to order more of this. So I'm curious to see where that ends up. If that could potentially be a Cody spot.
Well, we're going to find out. I don't know. I think all this is intriguing because Randy Orton just turning heel the way that he did. And by the way, the violence in that, right? I mean, here's Cody Rhodes with a suit he'll never wear again. By the way, such a young guy wearing suspenders. Very strange.
Yeah, it is odd. Yes.
Rip the suspenders off him. That had to hurt. The suspenders ripped off of your body. And then whipped to the floor. And then, what? And then of course, that bump over the table was amazing. Like, oh, jeez, what a bump there. Then, of course, he's bleeding. You know, he's bleeding, and he's a Rhodes, so that means money. Anytime a Rhodes bleeds, it's 100% money. Let me tell you that. Then just the whole thing of like Cody Rhodes lying into those stairs, and then here comes Randy Orton with that chair. That sound.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the crowd is in was it Seattle, wherever it was. The crowd at SmackDown was like, oh.
And then Orton having to like check to make sure the chair wasn't broken before he sat in it.
There's your heel, Randy, right there.
Yeah.
Half the fans were in horror and half the fans were happy. So I just think it's fascinating. But yes, it does work. But who's on the phone? Leave us a message right now. If you're watching this this podcast right now, who do you think is on the other end of the phone as we move on to our next item here on Good Karma Wrestling?
Sunday night, AEW Revolution took place in LA. Let's fill in the blank. AEW Revolution was blank.
Long.
Yeah.
Too long.
I don't disagree.
It is funny how WWE's pay-per-views or PLEs are too short. Yes. They're too long. Can I just get a show that's just right?
Can we get one in the middle? Like they're the opposite end of the spectrum. Let's find the middle.
I just want to just say, God bless you, Brian Rowitz, for providing a post-show wrap-up at 12:45 Eastern.
Yeah,
12:45 in the morning to be able to give us the post wrap up. Because if you called me, I'd be cussing you out for me to jump on here at that time Sunday night, Monday morning to be able to do that wrap up like you did.
Yeah, I had to power through a little bit until you know rub the eyes so I didn't look like I was falling asleep. But like I agree, and it's weird, like it's too long, and also there were matches you look at like, hey, we didn't need this, we could have trimmed that, and like then all of a sudden we're done before midnight Eastern, and I enjoyed the wrestling. The matches are amazing. That's every AEW pay-per-view. I think I saw a stat going around. The main event, longer bell-to-bell than all the wrestling combined Monday night on Raw. Like, those are the opposite ends of the spectrum there. But maybe we don't need some of these matches, and maybe we don't need to go 18 hours on a Sunday night.
Now, listen, let me just tell you first and foremost, I liked a lot of the matches that was on Revolution. Nobody does pay-per-view like All Elite Wrestling. When we complained for years under McMahon that we weren't getting enough quality wrestling, we weren't getting the matches. We got skits, bad comedy. You got some matches that were unfulfilling from a storyline standpoint, and we were mad about it for a long time. Tony Khan has filled the bill in wrestling to be able to give you what you want. He's the guy that says, come over for dinner, and you have a plate of food. And he goes, no, have another plate. And you're like, I'm good. No, have another plate. And then he gives you a third plate. And he goes, no, you got to have this. No, have the dessert. And so he just keeps pouring it on, Brian, over and over again. And by the way, great. I love the wrestling that I saw. However, you just have to understand, it's Sunday. It's a Sunday night. If it was in the afternoon, I'd have no complaints. If that thing was at 3 Eastern, I'd have no problem with that. If it was at 4 Eastern, I'd have no problem with it. Because now you got all, you know, a lot of the night to be able to fill the 5 hours. But when you do it at the traditional wrestling time and then be on the air almost until 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern, like that's not right. That's not right. Because you got to think about the kids. You got to think about people that go to work. You got to think about that traffic in Los Angeles you got to go through. That's right. Tough. But I mean, it was long, but it was fulfilling. I do want to ask you what you thought was the best match on the card for Revolution.
Ooh, I think my original one was Swerve and Brody. Like, just the way those two went and pushed it, and I had high expectations coming into that match, and I think that match delivered.
I thought that Alita Lowe and Bandito would steal the show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know that that match gets lost in the sauce for some people, but it's Alito's on a roll here. He's having a moment, and he is really wrestling well. I thought that that thing with delivering it did. Alito won that matchup, but it was close and it was fun to watch. So I like that matchup a lot. I thought that the tag team championships, if I had a bet on Young Bucks and FTR, I would have lost.
Yeah.
Because everything was just, the stars were aligned for the Young Bucks with their family, being in Los Angeles, a home game for the Young Bucks, and FTR winning it in the bottom of the ninth. I'm like, wow, what a swerve on me, FTR winning that match.
I've seen some of the fantasy booking on social media, and I'm 100% on board of FTR, Bucks, Copen Cage, TLC at Wembley.
Fine, sign me up.
Yeah, and like even last night, seeing Edge and Christian in the ring with the Young Bucks, like, what is happening? Like, that was, they got the holy shit chance early on. Like, I'm excited to see where this goes.
That is a lot of fun to see those two out there. Like, you know, Copen and Cage are coming out, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Like, Adam Copeland is still hype, and he's, you know, does a great promo and gets you ready for matches. And then there's Christian Cage still being an asshole. It's the best. Like, they are still what you remember, but their personalities are different. But once they're in the ring together, it's going to work out really well. And so I expect those guys to be tag team champions at some point. But the Young Bucks are going to have something to say about it. And you know how much I love tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
I love tag. When it's right, it's great. And I just thought the FTR, the Young Bucks, they delivered. First of all, I'm surprised of where they were on the card. I'd expect them to be first.
But that's a good way to set the tone, like the way those matches are. Like, I don't know. I guess Andrade and Bandido could have gone there also. Andrade and Bandido, 21 minutes, just looking at the times now. Also, maybe one of those matches didn't need to be on this card. Like, there wasn't much story there. It was a great match. We knew it was going to be a great match. But maybe just save it for something else.
Like Dynamite or Collision.
Yeah, great. Sign me up. Give them a half hour on TV.
See, the thing that you, when you have cards like this, and again, I'm not complaining about the in-ring of the men and women that worked hard. I mean, they bust their ass. This was their WrestleMania until Dynasty.
Right.
All in and then all out. Like, but just the way this card lays out like a WrestleMania. But the thing that you have to know as a promoter is you may like all these men and women on your card, but the thing you got to always remember is, okay, what are the moments that's going to stand out that you'll always remember?
Right.
Like Alito and Bandido or the Young Bucks and FTR, these should be matches where it's like, I remember that moment. I remember that moment. And I'll never forget that moment. But when you stack the card that way, the moments get lost. The matches get lost.
Yeah.
And now when we start doing our match of the year stuff here on GKW, it's going to be like, okay, let's go through the Rolodex of the 100 five-star matches from All Elite Wrestling to find out which one was the best. Like, they all can't stand out together. It's only one main event. But when they're given time, it seemed like all of them are the main event.
Yeah, and that's the other thing with the main event specifically. When it is so long, I found myself in the main event being like, all right, like, let's end it. Like, all right, let's end it. And I don't know if part of that is, I think I'm sort of over the Texas death match. I think we've seen it enough. It could take a break. But also part of it is because the show's so long, it's getting so late where I'm like, all right, let's move on to the next one and like end this main event. And that takes away from that.
Yeah. So we've pushed it to the side for a while here, but we need to address this. Okay. This MJF Hangman Page match, Texas death on the line, Adam Page. If he loses the match, he can never vie for the World Heavyweight Championship ever again in AEW. And MJF comes in as the champion on his birthday, by the way.
Right, yes.
His birthday. Okay. So we see a lot in wrestling. We see a lot. And I just think that that matchup could have been 20 minutes through, and then you could have come up with a winner if it was just Texas Death. But it wasn't. It was Texas Death. It was a dog collar match.
Right.
It was five or six other different matches. And it's like, Brian, I mean, you don't need all of that. You don't need a syringe to the mouth. Like, right. I'm no prude. Like, it's wrestling, right? It's
right.
But what you did is that you went over the top and you had so many things that repulsed the crowd, right? It's one thing to be like, oh my, like a holy shit moment. Okay, great. you go through the pyro and like the technical stuff in the back, that's fine. But you repulse the crowd, and that's not what you're in there for. Okay. You make people want, you know, turn their heads and go home. You know it's bad when Bryan Danielson on commentary says, maybe we should stop these matches. You hear him say that? He's like out loud, he goes, yeah, probably we shouldn't have too many of these Texas death matches anymore.
Yeah, and like, because just think about the last three at this point. Like, Hangman and Swerve, you had that story. You had a house burning down. Like, that was the send-off to it, and you had those moments. The Moxley match, like, ending there and Mox passing out, you had that moment. This one didn't have that, and it just felt unnecessary. And it's almost because of the overkill, because they've done it so much. Give it a couple years till we go back to this format. Like, we just don't need it anymore.
It is. It's been bastardized like Hell in a Cell.
That's right, 100%. Yes.
That's what happened. And so when Bryan Danielson says, yeah, we probably should stop doing this, when you're using glass and you're hanging somebody and you're doing all this stuff, it's like, hey, man, it's too much. And
Hell in a Cell is the perfect example, because that was the big send-off. That was like, oh, man, we're getting Hell in a Cell. Yeah. Now we get it every year. It's like, all right, well, yeah, just throw those two in there. It doesn't feel special anymore. And I think Texas Death is in that boat now.
And got, you know, good for MJF that he retained, and yeah. I mean, he's showing what he can do as a champion. This MJF is not a guy that needs outside help like the first one, like the first iteration of him being champion. He's doing it on his own, and he's trying to find a way to win these matches, which is great. But I just thought that was too much, and I got a high threshold for wrestling, and so do you.
Yes,
but that, especially as long as that night was. And then you're going almost 45 minutes. It's like, come on. You could have ended this 20 minutes ago and no one would be, oh, that was too short. No one would say. So I just thought that was interesting. I thought, you know, there's, as you mentioned, several matches that didn't belong. Trios championships didn't belong. Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, Roderick Strong against the Dogs didn't belong. You know, you didn't need Nightingale, Lena Cross, or it was one or the other.
Yeah.
Either Willow once, but not Willow twice.
And Lena Cross twice also.
Yes. Yes.
That was odd.
The retention of the TBS championship, but they lost the tag team championships, right?
Yeah. Which I think that works. I think the TBS title has almost been forgotten with Willow right now, like, because she's been focused on the tag stuff. We don't need the double champion there. I'm fine with, you know, fresh blood getting the tag titles.
You don't talk that way against the next Mrs. Hood. Don't do that.
I think she should be the winning an actual title at Wembley, like win the women's title. Like, she's the future of that division.
You got two out of three falls from Statlander and Tekla. That was too long.
Yeah.
Told a good story. Listen, told a good story. Mm-hmm. Told a fine story. I'm just saying, like, you could have told that story in one fall. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, because that also, they booked themselves in the corner. We saw the strap match. That's the blow off for a feud. And it's like, oh, well, let's run it back. Two out of three falls.
Didn't need that, you know. Right. Moxley, Takeshita, the Continental Championship. Again, did I need it on this show? Not necessarily. Where did that go? 25 minutes? You have the time there?
Yeah. 23:25. Yep.
20. Okay. So 23 minutes. Man, again, fine Dynamite or Collision matchup, but it was the Continental Championship. So that's.
But I would say that match is one of my biggest gripes, where one, Takeshita loses too much on TV. Like, he's a New Japan World Champion right now. You could build him up. Like, he should have won the belt there. Yeah. And the Moxley, we've joked about a lot the last few weeks. Is he a face? Is the group heels? Are they face? He's working baby face, but he's a heel because Ospreay's back. And, like, it's just a weird spot right now with him.
So the entire card, I'd give a B, a solid B or B plus.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would still go an A, because I think the outstanding matches what we're talking about. Like, they are the amazing matches. Like, that's always going to be the big takeaway, but it could be shortened up. And, like, there's always going to be some gripes. It wasn't perfect, but I still go A minus.
I go B because we didn't need boom and doom. That's why.
But you got Wayne Brady in there also.
Does Wayne Brady have to slap a bitch? Is that what's going to happen? Wayne Brady being in the mix. And then on top of that, someone that's very unpopular amongst wrestling fans made a return.
Yes, in Ronda Rousey, which I know there's a lot of negativity. I know there's a lot of criticism. I'm sort of intrigued to see how they do it.
What's funny is like she's not there to promote a fight that's on Netflix, and Netflix is not going to promote AEW. So what's is this a Mike Tyson baddest man on the planet? It didn't really. It was fine. I think it shocked a lot of people. That's one.
Yes.
Yeah. Is she doing anything with AEW? Is as unpopular she is with wrestling fans?
That's the curious. I agree with that. It's the name recognition. It got them some headlines. I was legit shocked. I remember looking away after the finish and just happened to look back like, is that Ronda Rousey? Like, I still didn't even believe my eyes. I'm like, oh, maybe it's someone I'm not familiar with. But like, you got some headlines, you got some attention. AEW doesn't need it. But if you push her as like this big anti-wrestling heel, her and Tony can make some magic.
As long as she's on TV, it's money.
Yeah.
No one's going to say, I don't want to see her, because you want to see her to boo her or whatever, right? But with her and Marina Shafir, I think that works.
To your point about the May fight, she probably can't take any bumps until that fight.
Her appearance, I think that's the whole thing of just her being out there. However she got paid, it caused headlines across MMA, wrestling, TMZ. They're like, what is she doing here?
Right.
What? He got more headlines than Wayne Brady.
That is true, because Wayne was on Zero Hour.
Make sure that you subscribe to what we're doing here on Good Karma Wrestling. Hit that like button while you're here as we go to our next topic here on GKW.
We talked about in the main event, MJF still the AEW World Champion. We're seeing challengers laid out. Darby laid out a challenge last night. Swerve is the number one contender, putting it on the line against Kenny next week. But who are some of the baby faces you want to see challenge MJF for the title?
So let's start with Swerve for a second before we go into these baby faces, because definitely Swerve's not a baby face.
No.
So how did he get to the number one contendership? Because
he said he wasn't sure either. He goes, unbeknownst to me, I'm the number one contender.
Well, you can't tell a story like that. Like, what do you mean?
He won some matches. He beat Brody, and yeah.
No, you can't. Brian, you can't. I mean, he's sitting there in a chair saying that he's the number one contender, like,
and that he's surprised by it.
Okay, all right. MJF has defeated Brody King.
Uh huh.
MJF's defeated Brodito, a Bandito.
Yep.
So he got them both. Okay, he beat Hangman Page. I look forward to seeing Hangman Page, by the way. What does he have to say for himself now that he put himself in the trick box?
Yeah. I think it's just time off right now.
Okay. So that's three. Now, Takeshita is one. He hasn't made the full turn yet, but the turn's happening.
Yeah. Correct?
Okay. So that's one. It's not Speedball Mike Bailey, even though MJF seems like he wants a piece of Mike Bailey. And so is that match happening? I don't know.
I mean, well, we forgot he beat Kevin Knight also. They had that awesome Dynamite.
Kevin Knight, yeah. So Mike Bailey's got to be on that list, right?
I think so, yeah. That feels like a Dynamite, but I think he'll get something.
All right. Who else is – we're talking about just baby faces.
I mean, Darby seems interested again. I know. So that's been sort of the issue, is if he's going to be at work, he seems interested in the world title if he's not rolling cars.
He kind of just said that, right? Just on Dynamite, like he's coming for the world title. I thought he had no interest in the world title.
Right.
Okay. Who else are we missing here?
Kenny, if Kenny becomes number one contender next week.
Kenny Omega. And that match is going to happen. I don't know when. But that's got to happen before Will Ospreay wins the title in London.
Right. So it feels like Kenny wins next week. Him and Swerve are 1-1, and then we get MJF and Kenny at Dynasty is the next one? Yeah, Dynasty April 12th in Vancouver.
In Vancouver, yeah. So that's going to be good. So I look at that list, and the reason why I bring this up is because there's this talk around the internet wrestling community that there's not enough baby faces for MJF to face. And we just listed five right here, and one of them is Ospreay, who's going to win the title this summer.
Yep.
So there's plenty of opponents for MJF to face, Dynamite, Collision, or one of these PLEs. I know that I know that Andrade's interested. I know because a guy, I mean, he's undeniable, man.
Yeah.
He's got guys out there. And even though it seems like MJF is trying to buy the Don Callis family, so that way he doesn't have to take on one of those guys, still, there's baby faces for him to face.
Yeah, I think there's plenty to do. So just looking at the pay-per-view schedule, Dynasty April 12th in Vancouver, Double or Nothing May 24th in Queens, and then it's August 30th at Wembley. So you need two pay-per-view main events. I think Kenny could very easily be one. He wins the number one contendership next week, goes there. And I guess you could do a Darby main event. Like, Darby doesn't feel like he'd be hurt by losing in the main event.
No, he doesn't mind the punishment. And
right. Yeah, so you could do that, and then eventually, I think the ultimate moment is Ospreay winning it at Wembley. I'd also throw Kyle Fletcher into the mix. He's not a babyface right now, but I think babyface Kyle Fletcher against an MJF, you could sell some tickets with that.
After Ospreay, Fletcher's the champion.
Beautiful. I'm in.
Look, we're solving the world's problems.
That's right. You're welcome, TK.
I think that's what it is. I think that that's something because MJF was so impressive in the matchup against Hangman Page. Again, we thought it was over the top. But the point is, though, that MJF, I saw that promo afterwards when he's sitting on the floor and he's wearing Terry Funk's his whole outfit. And by the way, that's a great ode to Terry Funk when he first won the ECW championship with those same trunks. Well, not the same trunks, the same color trunks. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Could you imagine? Wearing a dead man's trunks.
That seems like a Darby move. Don't give him any ideas.
So, yeah, but you understand the point. It was the same color trunks,
yes.
The same fit of one Terry Funk. But this guy, Brian, he's so different and so special. And I'm telling you that you go back to wrestling in the 70s and 80s and in the 90s, you find a pure wrestler like that, and it would just resonate. Guys like him are so rare. Student of the game. He's mixed with so many different wrestlers when I see him perform. And I like this MJF because he doesn't need to be able to have four or five people. He doesn't need to be part of some kind of faction. He's just doing it by himself. And I just think that he's really having a good reign right now. He is, to me, the best champion we have in wrestling currently.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the recent success of AEW and how hot they are, and I think that directly ties to heel MJF as your world champion. I think you tell better stories with him being the asshole that he is and people chasing him and trying to get to him and him still coming out on top, and I think that's why this company is so strong right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's plenty of contenders for MJF, but I think that, you know, the ultimate answer to the question is going to be Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
And by the way, just as an aside by Will Ospreay, and this is why we can celebrate the pay-per-views as far as the in-ring, and then Dynamite and Collision, it just falls off the track. You just went through a strong pay-per-view, and then the first thing you do, you show us, you know, a video package, which is fine. That comes a long way for AEW. That
yes, uh-huh.
Is of the previous pay-per-view. I mean, a long way. First thing you show us is Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay wrestling Blake Christian. What is the point of Will Ospreay wrestling 15 minutes against a guy that gets a jobber introduction, by the way? Mm-hmm. We know who Blake Christian is. He doesn't get an intro. Will Ospreay's in there for 15 minutes with the tape on his neck, and he's struggling along. He finally wins the matchup, and then there's heat. Then here comes the Death Riders. You know, the babyface Death Riders. You know, those baby faces, you know, that we now that we love because they're so cuddly, even though they tried to shut the company down once before by putting the championship in a freaking lockbox where we couldn't see the day of light. They didn't see the light of day for years, seemingly. And so now those baby faces, you know, led by John Moxley, oh, they're heels now. Oh, okay. So that whole segment was the shits for me because Will Ospreay, this is WWE, he's in an outfit. Maybe one of his zip-up outfits. It's so good to be back here in AEW. Thank you so much. You know, Brian Danielson, you're an inspiration to me. I know you're not wrestling and you're retired, but you went through the same injuries I went through. I'm dedicating the rest of my career to you. Applause, right? Just like tears, throwing babies in the air. Just like all the good feels, right? Thank you. I'm so great to be back. And then if you want to bring the Death Riders down, you hold them back with security, whatever. And then the next week, it's a face-to-face, Moxley against Omega. And then they have a conversation in the ring. No. Let's fast forward through this shit and just have him in the ring coming off the surgery. Because we need that match, by the way. We need that match. 15-minute match. And he's out there, and he's getting, again, I'm wincing because he just got through the surgery. I'm like, I hope he can survive this thing. And so then he gets attacked because, God forbid, if you don't have heat on this show, got to get attacked. And then you confuse the audience because people were cheering Moxley. And, and you try to make me love Wheeler Yuta. You try to make me do that. And so now they're heels again. What happened?
I have no answers. I completely agree. Like, Will Ospreay versus Blake Christian is a match that I'm watching in the local gymnasium, and it's a great match, and it's not needed right now. And you have to protect Will Ospreay from Will Ospreay. Even Sunday night, one of those bumps he took outside the ring, I thought he was going to hit his neck on the outside of the apron. He was, like, that close away. Like, you don't need stuff like this. Even if you advertise the match and the Death Riders maybe come out and attack him and you do something that way, like, there were better ways to get him on television last night. Have him go through the Death Riders to get to Mox, and then maybe Mox takes a vacation, because I feel like we might need some of that right now, but just very odd. It is nice to have him back, but still odd booking regardless.
He shouldn't have wrestled last night.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, sir. What's next?
All right, WrestleMania. We are on the path. We are a few weeks away. Reports out this week that Gunther, who still does not have a WrestleMania match, might be left off the card because of Rey Mysterio's injury that he suffered before the Rumble. So get out the pencil, fantasy book an angle for Gunther to get to WrestleMania.
He will be the special referee for Oba and Lesnar.
Did they forget they had this guy retire as Cena? And now you might lead him up Mania?
Oh, my God. So what's the report that you were telling me about?
Initially, it was going to be him and Ray. He retires Ray. Ray gets hurt. So now they're like, all right, well, guess we got nothing for you.
Well, Ray's not really hurt. So let's just...
Yeah, there's some of that also, that apparently he wants Dom to be the last match, so he might be milking this a little bit.
Oh, my knee! My knee!
Yeah, very odd timing.
And Triple H says, were you going to miss WrestleMania? I know, my knee!
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so now we got to determine who's left. So... Gunther, and again, Oba, Femi, and Lesnar, just that moment in San Antonio. We talk about moments versus matches, right? Bro, it's
Bravo.
A moment for Oba, Femi. What a moment.
Like, to hold him up in the air like that, to stand over him. And I've seen the video go around where Brock's like, hey, stand on me. Like, Brock being in the know there. Like, unbelievable moment for Oba on Monday night.
Oba said, what'd you say? Put your foot on me. Oh, sorry. Beg your pardon. So we have, I'm just off the top of my head. So Gunther, that boy Bouncy, is he's on the card?
LA Knight.
LA Knight Gunther does not work for me.
No. So the one I had, we don't really have a dance partner for Rollins right now. I know there's the Vision stuff. What if it's like Heyman pays Gunther to like, hey, go end Rollins?
Rollins versus
Gunther.
Rollins Gunther.
And Gunther's like a hired hand for the Vision and Paul Heyman.
Because Logan Paul doesn't work.
Right. And also, which I thought it was going to be Mania, but it looks like it's next week, Vision versus Usos for the tag titles, which will be Monday on Raw. Thought that was going to be Mania.
Vision versus the Usos. Okay. See, the lines are blurred here.
Yeah.
So the Usos are baby faces when they defend the tag team championships, but heels with Roman against Punk?
Yeah, you got it.
That's just nuts. Okay. Well, it's a lot of gray area in wrestling today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So who else are we missing here? That's not – LA Knight does not work. Who else does not match?
Penta on the IC title.
No.
Mello.
No.
Do you do Danhausen and Gunther?
Well, not this time because Gunther is a serious animal now. So, like, you retired AJ Styles and John Cena. So I don't know if the comedy match works at WrestleMania.
I forget who put it out on social, but what if you had Gunther interrupts the Hall of Fame, interrupts AJ, and you do like an unsanctioned match and run that back?
Sure. That says a lot about your roster if you can't find someone to take on Gunther.
Yeah, Joe Hendry? Going through the roster.
Well, we know how that goes at WrestleMania with Joe Hendry.
Yep.
He loses.
That's the weird, like, you need to have a spot for him. You've built him up so well to where you're telling stories without titles, like, and you're going to let that one little injury be like, oh, actually, I guess we got nothing for him. It just makes no sense.
So we just can't have Gunther and Lesnar. Why can't we have that match? Why does Obafemi have to go now? He just came to the main roster. Why do we need that match now?
I guess because you're pushing the retirement thing and if Brock's not ready to retire. Because if Oba's winning, I'm fine with them pushing young guys. We've talked, like, give us something fresh. I'm fine with that angle there.
I'm just trying to find a dance partner with Gunther. Like, that's a great dance partner. I just can't find anybody else.
Yeah, going through this roster, there's not much that jumps out. We're like, oh, let's do this.
They're stuck, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, right now, WrestleMania is a great one-night card. Yeah. Instead of us, it's a great AEW Revolution card right now, but as far as two nights, you have two main events that are worthy of, you know, having a two night Mania, and the rest of it, man, just lacks. There's a lot of champions that will not wrestle at WrestleMania. And by the way, I do not support, like, everyone's got to be on the card like it is in AEW. Yeah. Everybody doesn't deserve to be on a pay per view card. I get that, but my God. The booking has been just so scattershot and so light. It's bottom heavy with your main events, but what about the rest of it? How many champions will not defend their crown at WrestleMania this year?
I agree. Matt Cardona, Carmelo's not going to, Penta's not going to. Matt Cardona could wrestle Gunther. Sheamus? Hurt? I don't think he's hurt, right? He's just there.
He's in catering.
Tamina's still on this roster. We'll learn something new every day.
Well, I mean, there's someone, yes.
Yeah, there's not many options.
So, I mean, but okay, well, someone's got to host WrestleMania. Is that going to be LA Knight or is that going to be Gunther?
Yeah, Philly, LA Knight, we don't have much to do right now.
What have they done with somebody? What is going on? Okay, and then Sami Zayn, too.
Correct. I don't know where Sammy ends up right now.
Do you want Sammy Gunther?
We just got that, 2 years ago?
Well, it's a different Sammy.
Sure.
Sammy's pissed off. Sammy's mad at Cody.
Yes.
I don't know how that connects, by the way. I have no idea how that connects to the world title match.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with that also. I don't know where that's going.
Are we saying Gunther is not going to be at WrestleMania?
It sort of feels like that.
Gunther Penta is not bad. I just know that is. Do you want Gunther to be the Intercontinental Champion?
No, but you also don't want him to lose at Mania. Like, yeah, there's not much of a path for him right now.
This is why the good Lord put together Battle Royals back in the day. It's honest to God. I mean, that's what they did that for. It's like, well, we don't have dance partners for you, so we'll just put you in a scramble, a battle royal to determine something.
What a waste.
I mean, there's a lot of wrestlers you mentioned there that just are not going to be part of WrestleMania.
No.
Javon Evans is not going to be at WrestleMania against Kofi Kingston?
No, they're not going to spend WrestleMania time on that.
It's a passing of the torch match.
It's a great match, but nope.
Well, okay. Any other tag team? What about the other tag team champions on SmackDown?
The store brand Bloodline?
Yes. What about them? Are they part of WrestleMania?
No. They have their big title defense tomorrow night against Priest and R-Truth.
Oh, boy. Yes, I forgot that makeshift tag team that you don't need.
Nope.
Let me tell you. It's so funny about this company, right? On one end, you get the mysteries going. Yeah, you're good with the mystery theater. Taylor, sure. Your mystery theater is right on target. Great. But then what about the rest of this here? They are this. You know what the internet wrestling community will tell you? They'll tell you, well, Brian, you know, this whole company is just turned upside down because of the injuries to the Vision. Like, no, this is not about Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. Because right. You have more, there's more wrestlers than those two. There's something else. It's just the lack of booking and lack of foresight. That's what I say. Because everyone says, well, it's because of the Vision. Everything is shaken up. Was Bron Breakker going to be World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania?
I doubt it. But yeah, I completely agree. And also, if you're telling good enough stories and you have lots of TV time to do that, next man up. Let's go. Like, it's just, they don't do that.
So you don't think that we'll see Seth Gunther?
I'm fine with that. I think you can tell a story there. But because of, like, because Logan and Theory are doing the tag title match Monday, I guess Logan and Seth is still on the table for Mania, or Braun being healthy is still on the table for Mania.
I don't know if he'll be ready. That's a hernia. That's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man.
We are 5 weeks away? They said 30-something days away from Mania.
They can't wait to get past this Mania. You know why Paul Heyman told Open, what about next year's WrestleMania in Saudi? Because he's so ready to get through this nonsense. Like, but again, the main events are set. It's gonna,
yes.
Like, Cody and Randy are just heating up, and it's going to be more to that, which is great. We've got CM Punk, and we've got Roman Reigns, and that's great. But the rest of it, man, there's so many people that are looking at this card and goes, what are we doing here? We had an attraction match this week that you could have saved for WrestleMania. And that is the two masks, guys.
Yeah, El Grande. Also, AJ and Bayley. Like, I have their match of the week. Why is that not a WrestleMania match?
It should have been. And they could have worked on their match and sharpened it up better than we saw on Monday night.
Yes.
Those two were so hesitant because they haven't had ring time. That could have been a lot better, but it's kind of like, okay, I think I'm going to do this now. I'm going to do this. It was kind of like, it wasn't bad, but you could just tell it could have been much sharper if they were on the road working on that match.
The other one also talk about on the roster that disappeared, Royce Keyes. Remember they signed him? That was a big deal at the Rumble.
Oh, he's spending time with Stephanie, still crying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's not on my television. I just see clips that they're playing, but I'm not searching that out.
It's a 10-part series, by the way.
Wow, good for him.
It's a 10-part series of What's Your Story?
Got it.
So, all right, Brian, what else do we have?
All right, let's get to news and notes. Let's start with some contract news in AEW. MVP revealed on the 4-Year Entertainment podcast that he and Shelton Benjamin have recently signed extensions with AEW.
Well, no one knew about that until he revealed that. All right. Did he say the same thing about Bobby Lashley?
He did not, which I thought was interesting.
Cedric Alexander said that he was going to be part of that new, you know, try to go back and be part of AEW, but he wanted to do stuff on his own. So that's why we didn't get the full
group.
So Shelton Benjamin, when he was healthy, was fun to watch. It's kind of rolling back the time on your odometer, the mileage, because even though I think he's close to 50, since he's been in catering in WWE, is kind of like 43, 44. You roll the odometer back. So, but he looked good when he was in there.
Yeah, we had a random recent match a couple months ago, him and Mox on television. Shelton can always go, but curious to see what the future is for them because they don't seem interested in losing too much. Yeah. But I guess find a home for him. Speaking of AEW, plenty of positive buzz over the weekend, but not everyone was happy. Both Britt Baker and Sammy Guevara responding to tweets on social media about not being included in the show, and both them saying, quote, not up to me, in regards to them being on television.
Yeah, it's almost like they called one another. Called one another and said, it's not up to me.
Like, why? One, why do they need to say anything? Two, why are they on the roster?
Well, they were asked the question, and so they answered the question. Not up to me.
By random, you know, Joe Wrestling Fan 2357. Like, you could very easily ignore that.
Well, you know why they did that. It's because they want to get released. That's why.
It's been a while.
Yeah, they want to be released. And so Britt Baker wants to definitely be released to go someplace else. And Sammy Guevara, well, he was in the mix until Dustin Rhodes got it hurt.
Right. And he's still doing stuff on ROH television.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's one of the original pillars of the company. And Sammy Guevara, on his own, I think that he could help AEW in some ways to take on one of the – he could be a contender for one of the 8 or 9 singles championships they have there. You know, he's and yeah. And by the way, you've heard nothing but good things about Sammy Guevara since he had the baby with Ty. Nothing but good things, because there was some immaturity there, I thought, from Sammy Guevara before. But I think that he's been just fine, but just not utilized. Like, God, about 30% of that roster, just not utilized. Sitting at home, getting a check. That must be nice.
Vegas cards being filled out. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 15 this week, adding Natty and Pete Dunne. Timothy Thatcher and Shayna Baszler were already announced for that show as well.
Well, Shayna Baszler is going to be in it, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Those shows, you've seen those shows like I have, Brian. It's always interesting with no ropes and just
paddling.
It's Natty's becoming natural with it. It feels like she's in her like pseudo dungeon.
Right.
So it's good. No, and Pete Dunne is actually a legit tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
Can't use him on the WWE roster, huh?
Mm. He's got a mask on.
He's one of those guys, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh God. So he's with he is a Grande Americano disciple, the guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I forget what their names are, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he's one of them.
The shorter one. He's the bruiserweight. I like him.
So
there
you go. And finally, news and notes. Oscars this past week in the In Memoriam segment, both on air and online, not listing famed movie star Hulk Hogan and his past movie credits.
I read that the Academy was, I won't say embarrassed, but they're just like, you know, we don't want to have that smoke with him because of what Hogan was. And I'm like, wait, there's been racist that's been in memoriam before. why did pick Hogan? Like, out of all the people, I mean, he was in Rocky for
God's sake. Was Mr. Nanny.
Mr. Nanny, he was there. That's quite the choice, by the way. And I wonder, was that political or racial?
Yeah, I'm curious also because, like, and reading some of the articles where it does seem like they want to stay away from the headlines, a lot of the wrestlers in Hollywood, I don't know if that happens without Hogan.
Right.
Like, he had an impact on the movie business.
You're 100% right. There has been wrestlers in movies before, but never bigger than Hogan in that spot at Rocky. So, I mean, that helps The Rock and Batista and on, but absolutely. You know what? As a bad choice by the Academy, they should have put him in there, even if you flash him up there for a second.
Yeah. Hogan. You don't need a whole big thing. Like, that's it. Just show him and that's it.
Yeah. I think that's a bad choice, actually. So I agree with you. All right, brother. Now we got to get to the match of the week.
That don't include Revolution or include every single match on Evolution? On Revolution?
No, Revolution 2, because that's on a Sunday.
Okay. So I go Swerve and Brody from that night and Bucks and FTR from that night.
Bucks, FTR, Andrade El Idolo against Bandido.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. So what was it? Bayley losing on Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, I enjoyed that just for the moment, I guess, of it being AJ and Bayley in the ring. Again, that should have been a 10-minute WrestleMania match, again, with the moment. But I enjoyed it from that regard.
What about AEW with their Dynamite show?
The coffin match was fun.
Out of nowhere, too. Was that booked?
Yeah, it was announced. I was surprised it wasn't the main event.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Why was that? That was right before the top of the second hour, right?
Yes.
Strange. I don't understand that either. Yeah, so I thought that was Darby Allin and Gabe Kidd. Gabe Kidd, who thinks everything's a shoot, by the way. Does he know it's a work?
Those guys lose a lot, the War Dogs. They need to change that a little bit.
I thought that Mike Bailey and Mark Davis was a good match, too.
Yes, I agree with that. I think Mark Davis, all of a sudden, like, they're learning how to book big men. Brody King, Mark Davis. It is quite a trend.
No, I think that and that now put a title on him. How about that?
Sure.
How about a title?
I'm in.
All the flippy dudes gets championships. You know, how about a big guy with a championship that looks like he's indestructible? How about that for a change?
Yeah, him and Speedball, I enjoyed a lot.
Anything else on Raw?
No.
Just stories. They're just telling.
I think I saw 46 total minutes of wrestling on Monday's Raw.
Yes. And you have Roman Reigns cooking CM Punk.
Yes.
That's what you had that as well, Phil.
They called him old.
You know, I know that you feel like that's weak, but that's a thing in wrestling. It's a thing. You don't call someone fat. You don't call someone old. Because imagine if the old fat guy beats you. Then what are you? You lose.
That's
a whole wrestling trope. I'm just telling you.
I could do without the real name calling. Like, it just the Phil and the Joe. I did like the Samoa Joe dig, but like, it's just not necessary. It's not doing it for me right now.
It's calling out Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe, I think, is overseas. He's like, what? What happened? Yeah.
What I do.
Strange that a Samoan's in wrestling. He has no link to the bloodline. None. No. None. Like, it's like, he's from California. That's pretty great, man. Well, those are our matches of the week. And we please want you to like, share, subscribe, and comment to everything we do here for the Good Karma Wrestling. And we're live every Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 Pacific, right here on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast as well. We've always got great stuff for you. Make sure that you lock in to us. And by the way, when I say share, please share. Don't be selfish with your wrestling.
Yeah.
So that way we have more people that tell us we don't know what we're talking about. So we'll take that. That's for sure. For the absent Gabe Neitzel and for Brian Rowitz, this is Jonathan Hood. We'll talk to you next Thursday with another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. So long, everybody, from the Sunshine State and the land of Lincoln.